You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And it's Sam here.
What are we talking about today, Sam?
Oh, boy. I think this is this is going to be something that people have, I think, a very strong response to in either direction. So we'll just get this out of the way and then I'll add the disclaimer.
Okay.
So we are going to be discussing our thoughts and our feelings and our impressions on the Let Them theory that is making the social media rounds courtesy of Mel Robbins' new book over the last, I think it was released in like end of January, beginning of February.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty recent. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to preface this by saying none of this is meant to attack Mel or like say we hate her or we think everything she does is bad, right? However, this theory has caused – it's a very black and white theory.
Yes.
And as we've spoken about it and have kind of like seen social media stuff, podcasts, I've had some conversations with multiple clients with them asking my thoughts on it and me getting their thoughts on it. There are parts of it that I agree with. There are parts of it that I think are helpful and pertinent. And there's actually a lot that I don't like.
Yeah.
And we felt that it was something that we would both really love to dive into and give our nuance on. What are your thoughts?
So for people who don't know, right, what the Let Them theory is this idea of stop fighting with reality, which I do think on the surface is like a great message. Wholeheartedly agree with it.
Yes.
And I think what's interesting to me is I would have loved this book as I was getting like sober.
When you need to be a little more rigid.
Yes. I really needed like a black and white framework that was just like, this is what to do. Yeah. So the theory is sort of like stop fighting with reality. If someone wants to do something, Let them do it. You're not going to be able to kind of change their mind.
Or let them not do it.
Yes.
Right? If there's things they don't want to do or don't want to change.
Yeah. She has a metaphor, which is actually – we're going to get into it. But the metaphor she uses, which is one of – it's a one of my favorite metaphors, but she did not come up with this. I learned about this in AA like, you know, 10 plus years ago. Of like, stop fighting with the rope. Like, imagine that, you know, one person's holding one end of the rope and you're holding the other end of the rope. And the whole metaphor is you're pulling on the rope. You're trying to fight with what's happening or fight with this person when the power comes from just dropping the rope, surrendering. It's very similar to kind of like there's a theory or an idea in AA that's called drop the rock.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that one. Yeah.
Are there other nuances to the theory that we're missing?
I downloaded it on my Kindle.
Okay.
And I kind of like scrolled through. And honestly, like, guys, it's not more pretty straightforward.
I did read her 5-second rule book when that came out 5 years ago, seven years ago.
It was like in the pandemic.
I don't know, a while ago. Because I did like the idea of it. And I did – this was, again, like, I have to admit, too, that I did see her on YouTube as, like, when she was just a motivational speaker, I think 7 or 8 years ago. I do think she is a good motivational speaker. Like, yeah. if you want to be motivated, I think watching one of her YouTube videos will motivate you.
You will feel that way.
Yeah. You know, I think one of her big YouTube videos is like, motivation is garbage, right? You'll feel differently.
She's
you
big
just
on
have
that.
To take the action, which is true. And I remember hearing about the 5-3-2-1 rule, and I thought it was like an interesting concept. And I hoped in the book that she would give a lot more context than just say to yourself 5-4-3-2-1 go.
That's it.
But yeah, so I can say I didn't read Let Them, but I did read that book because that was when I was like working in addiction facilities and I was more into I'm gonna motivate people to get sober, sort of. And that book, you can summarize it as what we just said. There's nothing else to it, essentially. So it doesn't surprise me that the Let Them theory isn't deeper than that either.
Correct. And I think I've seen Mel Robbins' videos. I've followed her on social media. I think there is something to be said about her style. I think I find her to be a little bit of a kindred spirit, that I'm pretty blunt too in my delivery and fairly straightforward. I think sometimes she can verge on like rude.
Yeah, I agree.
I think sometimes there's a little bit of aggression. There's just moments where I see her delivery and I'm like, it's kind of, it's a bit much.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree in terms of, I think she is in the Tony Robbins.
Brendan Burchard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, David Hollis, Rachel Hollis, right? Like they are sort of in that way where a lot of them are really blunt. And that is on purpose to kind of cause people to feel a certain way, I think, and create reactions. And it's why they've become popular because people have strong feelings. And as we know, you know, the more you're controversial, the more attention you get.
The more viral you go. And I think what I struggle with too is it's really easy to just stand up and yell at people.
Yes.
It really doesn't take much to stand up and say, like, I learned this thing and here's why you're a loser because you're not applying it to your life this way.
Yes.
And I struggle a lot with the motivational self-help space because there are a lot of things that they say that I'm like, it really sounds like you went to a therapy session, your therapist told you these things, and now you're regurgitating them to me for a $299 course.
Or more expensive.
Or more
$2,000.
And I get frustrated with that because on the surface, a lot of what they're saying is fine. But it is so layered. And I think you and I both know, as people who have been very intentionally and specifically trained in how to help people navigate the change process and how to hold their hand through that, that yes, it's important to give people information. Yes, it's important to tell people things and share insight with people. But it is so broad that it is almost harmful.
Yeah.
It's broad to the point of being confusing.
Yeah.
And really what kind of triggered us deciding we wanted to do the episode on this was a client of mine suggested that I listen to the episode of the You Up podcast by Betches, which I have listened to that before and I love it.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize that they had Mel on. Mm-hmm. And so
she has literally been on everything. Single podcast.
We probably could have had her on.
I don't know about that, but I still wouldn't have wanted her, but
we probably could have if we really wanted to. But anyway, so I listened to the episode and like, I have to say it was painful. Mm. Like, because so for those of you that don't know, and this is going to give away my dating status immediately.
we already did one on how to be single and enjoy your life.
I know, but for any new people listening, the You Up pod is all about like dating and being single and relationships and navigating.
Jared is going to need to stay single forever because he is the heart of the show. He's the chronically single person.
I have the biggest crush on Jared.
I do too. I don't know what it is about him, but I just, when I see his videos, I'm like, I'll date you.
I'm like,
wait, I'm married.
I know. Come on, back off. I'm like, I think he's so funny. And I'm like, oh, he's cute. Anyway.
He is.
So if you're listening, Jared.
Hit us up. We'll set it up.
Anyway, so I listened and it was like really hard to listen to because the aggression in her tone. Like I was a little like, what are you upset about, babes? Yeah. Like, and so how it got brought up was she explained the theory, which in her own words, she summarized it as it's about letting go and letting people be themselves and you choosing to be yourself in that. And that any tension or issues that you're having are essentially of your own making because there's something that you're not letting go of, surrendering to, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Jared and Jordana were trying to like pull it out of her of like, well, how does this apply to dating?
Yeah.
Like, and because the big example that she would keep bringing up is like kids.
Well, it was, she claimed, right, that she like wrote this with her daughter.
Yeah.
But then her daughter wasn't.
Yeah, her daughter wasn't.
If she wrote it with her daughter, it seems like you would have had it be Mel Robbins and
I don't know.
Whatever her daughter's name is.
But I did see, like, I ended up stumbling across, like, her daughter's post about it. And it was, like, one of those long, like, we laughed, we cried.
Yes.
We yelled. We threw things writing this. But it was the best experience we've ever had. But
yeah, I saw a video of them talking about it. As
like, the process.
Yeah, they fully did it together. But yeah.
So anyway, so I was listening to it and she was being particularly aggressive with Jared because basically he brought up how do we really apply this? Because he goes like, what if somebody is anxious or like, what if there's a conversation they want to have with somebody? Like how, right? And she would just skip to like, well, like, for example, the conversation about having kids. Like, if you think you maybe want to have kids, don't go to someone who says, no, I don't want kids. And it's like, well, yeah. Like, okay. I mean, I get it. But anyway, so then I flipped through the book and it was kind of similar examples and it was fairly straightforward. And so with all of that said, let me explain what my concerns are about a theory like let them taking root.
Yeah.
If you don't understand why something is making you anxious, why something makes you feel overwhelmed, why it feels so difficult for you to have challenging conversations, or why it feels really overwhelming to think of letting people do what they're going to do and surrendering to that, screaming at someone, let them, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it is a very nice theory to be able to say, well, if you just stop feeling things and apply this technique, you get to just live a perfectly happy life.
Yeah.
And that's what's stopping you. Like, essentially what she's talking about is the emotions don't matter. And I think in some respects, there are probably some situations where that could be true.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you are in a relationship with somebody and your deal breaker was always being cheated on, right? Yep. And you find out your partner has cheated on you, betrayed you in that way, lied to you, gone behind your back, whatever. Sure, there could be a moment where it's like, you know what? This is over. I'm done. I am letting you do this and I am letting me leave, right? Yep. That's fine.
Yeah.
If you are trying to repair a relationship with someone, and if you are trying to figure out how to articulate and advocate for your own boundaries, the let them theory doesn't work.
Yeah.
The let them theory becomes very avoidant very quickly.
Yep.
Because you immediately get to just say, well, that doesn't work. And I'm going to let them do that. And I'm going to do that over here.
Yep.
And it's like, right. But maybe that was a moment where we could have faced that together and hashed through that. And also maybe that other person doesn't even recognize that what they're doing is an issue to you.
Yeah.
Like in the example of like there was in the podcast, there were a bunch of examples about like cleanliness. And apparently she announces that she's a pig in her space. Okay. And her husband is not. And that was like something that apparently they had to agree to, that she was just going to be that and he was going to be fine with it. And I was a little like, no.
Yeah, that's why can't we do compromise?
Yeah, because she was like, I've gotten a little bit better at it, but he had to accept that I wasn't going to be good at it. And I'm like,
yeah.
No. Like,
literally, to me, the only thing that the let them theory really super applies to is like, if someone clearly doesn't like you when they're dating you.
Literally. Right? Yeah.
Like, or they're making them excuses, they're, you know, ghosting you, they're right. breadcrumbing you, they're dragging you along. That I could see being like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to let them be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't working. I'm going to walk away.
I'm going to let them sit in their mixed signals and yes. I'm going to make an executive decision yes. to leave.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But yeah, a lot of life is nuanced and messy mm-hmm. and complicated. Mm-hmm. And I think what you said, Sam, is such a good point of – I was even thinking of, let's take this in terms of friendship, right? Of
yeah.
someone doesn't respond to you in the way you want them to, or they send, you know, mixed signals or whatever. And then you're just like, well, they don't like me. I'm going to let them not like me and I'm going to walk away. The fact that she didn't at least take the opportunity to talk about what situations it should work in or how to modify the theory for nuanced situations is – I'm speechless about that.
Well, but I think this is the exact problem. She doesn't yeah. have any of the expertise or background to understand that that is the next layer to this.
Yeah.
If anything, Let Them could have been a chapter.
Yes.
And then the rest of the book is about discussing how you could actually truly implement something like this in your life
yeah.
and how to decipher when that is an appropriate skill for you and when it's not.
Yeah.
And I just felt frustrated because like even listening to the pod and then even the way like when I was kind of like scrolling through the book, there really is very much this like, well, if this doesn't work for you, it's because you're not working.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with the principle. You're the problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, a concept like Let Them is a tool.
Yeah.
It is a tool that you are allowed to have in your toolbox. And it is not going to be the tool that you need to pull out every single time you are up against something.
Right.
And that was what I was getting frustrated with in her delivery was it's just this very bizarre, like, level of aggression and anger and bitterness towards people for being human. And yeah. it's like, because the big example that she also gives too is like her son didn't really plan for prom. And he was kind of like, you know, it was like 2 days before he decided he wanted to go, asked a girl, then they like wanted to go out to dinner. And she was like panicking that he didn't have a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently her daughter like grabbed her by the arm and was like, Mom, let them.
Which that is a good,
fine.
That is a good use case for it.
Yes.
These simple examples are a good use case.
Yeah. No, your son is a big boy who can decide to not plan anything.
Yeah.
And
I could see the use case for, you know, my toddler may have a meltdown. I'm going to let her have a meltdown.
I'm going to let her. And I think, again, it goes to fine. There is nothing inherently wrong with this. However, I actually think more often than not, mm-hmm. it's not going to be that simple.
Yeah.
Because there comes a point where something like that can feel as if you are being asked to constantly be okay with things you're not okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This idea of like, well, if it's bugging you, that's a you problem.
Right.
Nothing anybody does should bug you
yep.
because you just let them.
Yep.
And you're the one being sensitive and you're the one that's being unfair and unrealistic. And it's like, no, because there's things people do that need to be legitimately discussed and dealt with.
Yep.
And it's just, it's been really interesting to be seeing people's responses to things.
Mm-hmm.
And I scrolled through the comments on Spotify on the pod and it was really interesting. And there were some people that were like, yeah, tough love. Like, this yep. is good. But most people were like, dude, calm down. Like, it's not yeah. that serious.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just wanted to – we were, like, really intrigued by this whole idea.
Well, I think what's – because we're kind of using this, right, to talk about self-help, I think, mm-hmm. as a whole, a lot of these concepts. And I think what's so interesting, too, is, you know, like I said, I think I look back and I'm slightly horrified at some of the things that I did when I was working at a rehab because
oh, yeah.
I wasn't tough love, but I was like, yes, you can do it. Like, you just yeah. have to put – like, anything is possible, you know?
Right.
And I think that what is so interesting is – and I wonder if this is your experience as you've shifted into long-term work, too, is – it is actually really easy to like temporarily motivate people.
Yeah.
It's really easy to inspire someone and have them make a sweeping declaration that they're going to mm-hmm. change their life. Mm-hmm. It is easy to give someone self-help. People get inspired easily. It is like a great yeah. thing about us. But what's actually really hard is sustained long-term change.
Mm-hmm.
It's why everyone is super motivated on January 1st. Like,
right.
Because it's really exciting and fun and people get really inspired about the new year and changing their whole life. It's not hard, as we've talked about in our New Year's resolution episode, right? Mm-hmm. It's not hard to set a resolution. It's hard to keep a resolution and follow through with the change. And nothing has taught me that more than being a therapist and watching how the hundreds and thousands of ups and downs and back and forth and a few steps mm-hmm. forward, a few steps back and
mm-hmm.
life getting thrown at someone and then they have to deal with that. And change is complicated.
Everything that you just said is Bible. Motivation is so fleeting.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why I think there is some truth to when Mel made the comment of like motivation is horseshit. Like it's just, yeah. it just doesn't,
yeah.
it can't be the only thing you're using to fuel the fire because it can light up really quick and it dies really quick.
Yes. It's like a match. Yes. It's like you strike a match, but if you don't light something,
it's just going to burn and fizzle.
The match goes away.
Yeah. I like my transition to long-term work absolutely shifted the way I looked at it, because when I was in the emergency room, you have people coming in all the time being like, yep. I can't, I don't want to use anymore. I can't drink yes, anymore. I yes. can't, I don't want to shoot up again. I don't want to blah, blah, blah. And I would have the conversation with them of like, okay, so you are prepared
yeah.
to never use again after this
And you
moment.
Feel so good about yourself because yes. you think you changed their life. And it's like, no, you just gave them a spark.
Literally.
Which could change their life. But yeah.
Well, and that's why, like, I started getting kind of mean.
Yeah.
Because they would come in and they would have these big grand dreams yep. and they would be making these, like, pronouncements to their family members yes. about how, like, they had found God and they were changed and they were so tired of disappointing the people in their family. And it was like, I believed every word yes. of what they were saying.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
I absolutely believe that in that moment, like, that was truly how they felt, mainly mm-hmm. because they literally thought they were going to die because right. of how their withdrawal symptoms felt.
It's a normal response to yes. death is to be really motivated.
Really motivated. they're like, I swear, as I can't even like lift my hand because I'm,
yeah.
that's how they feel. And their family is sick of their shit. And,
yep.
and I would say to them, I believe you. And
yeah,
what's the plan then?
Yes.
What's the plan?
No one wants to talk about a plan.
No. Okay, so you're going to go to detox. It's going to be 3 to 5 days, maybe 7 days, best case scenario.
Yep.
And you don't do anything therapeutic. You just lay there and watch TV.
Correct.
And they give you pain meds and make sure you don't die from your
Correct.
Withdrawal. Awesome. Which, by the way, fun fact, there's no withdrawal from meth. You don't need that. You just need 18 hours of sleep. So...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's no – yeah, because it just
metabolizes. Well, the other fun fact that I know you know but maybe mm-hmm. listeners don't know is that you can't die from most withdrawals. The only thing you yes. can die from withdrawal is of alcohol.
Correct.
Can't yes. die from withdrawing from heroin.
No. It feels like it.
It feels like it.
And I will validate that. Yes. It feels like
it
you're
does.
Dying.
But
you
not.
Cannot die. No. So, yeah, I would say, okay, you're going to go to detox. And then what? Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to rehab? Are you going to do an intensive outpatient? Are you at a minimum going to have therapy probably twice a week? If you're just going to walk out the door from detox, I promise you, the stress that you will feel in returning to your life after 5 to 7 days away is going to send you into the desperate need for use.
Yep.
To try to mitigate and manage the emotions that you're feeling because it is so overwhelming. And so all of this to say, because I'm sure there's some of you listening and being like, well, that's a really extreme example. Yes. And it's indicative of the process that you have to commit to if you want to actually change the way you do things.
Yeah.
There has to be follow through. There has to be commitment. There has to be some type of a follow-up plan. And it's why when I first work with my clients the first little bit, they're like, well, how often do you want to meet? And I'm like, ideally, once a week.
Yep.
Probably for the first couple of months. Yep. Because you need consistent check-ins because stuff comes to the surface that you're not expecting or things happen and you need to check in. And if you start doing every 2 weeks too soon, the first 20 minutes are just catch up.
Yep.
And then you don't have enough time to really get into it and then it's too long and da-da-da-da. So to tie all of that back to this like let them theory, it's so naive to be throwing around this skill that yes is a valid skill, but it is so unrealistic and unfair to be telling people, yeah, if you just do this and you just let them, like, you're not going to feel as like unhappy and you're going to find more this and that in life. Like, that was what was really bothering me, is I hate these things that are sold as just these one size fits all answers.
Yeah.
And because everybody wants that so bad, they buy into it. And then it just becomes another self-help book that they spent $19.99 on, and it sits on their desk and nothing changes because there was nothing in there that was like realistic for them to try.
And I would say it goes even deeper of my big beef with it also is then it prevents people a lot of times from engaging in therapy or engaging in a therapist's book or engaging in real like change around it because people are just like, self-help doesn't work. Therapy doesn't work. I can't change, rather than the distinction between a therapist writing a book and a motivational speaker who is a lawyer writing a book. If this conversation is making you think, I could actually really use a therapist, I have great news for you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, offers therapy in the Philadelphia area and in 43 states across the country. This is also where Sam works. So if you're interested in working with Sam or with me, we sometimes take a limited number of clients every year and we would love to work with you. Or if we're not a fit, we have therapists across the country. Learn more at therapyforwomencenter.com.
There's nothing wrong with like being motivational. Like I'm motivational in a lot of my content.
Yep.
But I can tell you that's not the consistent conversation I'm having with my clients in therapy.
Yep.
Like very rarely. I am pushing their buttons to the moon and back. And like, you know, really trying to lean into, okay, we fell back in that habit. We fell back in that pattern. Ooh, we did that again. Do we notice how that's happening again? How do we want to do it? Let's deal with the shame. Let's talk about it. Like, I don't like when something is sold as, well, you're the stupid one if it's difficult. Right? Yeah. There's kind of this formulated simplicity because it's easily digestible. It's easily marketed. And then there's also this self-righteous attitude of, well, you're stupid because you're not understanding how simple this is.
Or you're not trying hard enough too. Yeah.
Yeah.
My other issue too is it's like a lot of times people choose simplicity because it's marketable, not just because it sells well, because it does. We love simplicity. Literally, our brains are wired to love simplicity because you burn less energy.
When things are
not
simple.
Thinking.
Yeah.
So we love it.
Yeah.
But it also then, you don't have to pick a niche. You can just be like, this works for absolutely everyone and everything. So this book can be sold to everyone about every single thing. This book reminds me very much of Girl Wash Your Face, sort of. Because even to bring in like the David Hollis of it, like, right, he died last year, which was very, you know, sad. And he died of an addiction too. But how she's been talking about this did remind me of that one of the last, like, I think he did like a Instagram Live where he was like yelling at people, yeah, telling them that they had to buy his book, and someone said they didn't have a job, and he was like, "This, you know, you're so stupid to not spend your last dollar on this book that will change your life," and blah blah blah. And there was a lot of backlash to that, and I'm wondering. Obviously, during COVID, there was the backlash to Rachel Hollis, and I'm wondering too if we're looking at this from a, you know, society culture level, is the Let Them theory, because it is like number one on everything.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, her podcast has been like number one podcast for like multiple weeks, if not months. And she's talking about how this is her legacy, and she was destined to write this book, and blah 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 blah. And I'm wondering too if we are in this age of sort of like pushing back against DEI, pushing back against nuance. And in some ways, I mean, we talk about this on the podcast. We do feel like there was an overcorrect that happened.
Yeah.
But are we now overcorrecting back? And now people are looking for more tough love. And that is why in this moment, people – I mean, I'm glad people were calling it out on the Betches podcast. Maybe that's because I think Betches listeners – you know, we're like ideal Betches listeners. We are the target audience, you know, compared to someone else. But yeah, I don't know. That was one of my thoughts about it. Is this the is this because of the cultural situation that we're in right now of people pushing back against kindness, nuance?
Yeah. It's very stark feeling. Yeah. I think that's – as I've been consuming content around it and kind of seeing how she lays it out and seeing the way she explains it, there is – it's just this very, like, abrupt, like, okay. Which, again, I think I have worked with some people that need that approach. But it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And as much as I wish this did things, because I would be a completely different person if it did – you cannot shame yourself into change.
Absolutely.
You can't shame yourself and beat yourself up into doing things differently or doing things better or being more efficient or being more intentional. Like, it just doesn't work. And I think there is kind of this attitude of shame in it. And I felt that when I was listening to the Betches episode. Like, it was – and I'm, you know – I'm pretty good at being able to like suss out how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling, like, you know, being able to let things go, really. And listening to her, I was like, whoa, like, why are you angry, ma'am? Like, it's – and she came in like guns blazing. Mm. Like, from the start of the episode going, there was just this like aggression, and she was on it and that – And I think she wasn't always like that. Mm. She always was a little like direct and straightforward and all that. But this is kind of, I don't know, maybe she feels like super empowered because she is so proud of this and it's doing so well. And people seem to be drawn to it because it is so simple and straightforward. But again, like with all of this said, it just gives me pause because I think I don't know if this is going to be something helpful. For a lot of people, because they don't have the context in which it would be helpful for them to use it.
Yeah. So there's this other component of this all, which is that people have said, rightly so, that there's a poem that was written in 2022 by a poet named Cassie Phillips, who also trademarked it, I believe. Mm-hmm. But then Mel was able to get a patent and trademark hers.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's hard with being online. People share different ideas, but it just feels from what I've seen and read very much like she knew what was going on. When you file a patent, you see what other patents are out there.
Yeah.
She's changed the story about when she discovered it. I saw some, you know, clips of, I guess, the original clip, TikTok video or something where she claimed she just discovered this. And she said that her daughter told her about it at school and someone said that. And now later it's kind of revisionist history. And she's saying that her and her daughter came up with it together about their relationship. Mm-hmm. So I really don't like those things.
Yeah, it's all very – disconcerting, and I've felt that way to see that. And I've seen a couple of posts from Cassie Phillips where she is talking about it, and it's uncomfortable. Yeah. And it's like, it is challenging because like ideas are ideas.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody gets to talk about and share about things from their own perspective.
Yeah.
And their own life and experience and yeah. whatever. Like, that's the whole point of being human.
Yeah.
However, it's like, why aren't we giving credit where credit is due then?
Because she wouldn't have been able to write the book.
It's, I don't know. I think mm-hmm. if you read Let Them and it was a book that changed your life, I'm giving that to you. Like, mm-hmm. that was the right information that you needed at the time. Mm-hmm. However, if you are also someone that hears a lot of these like one-liners and these one-off phrases mm-hmm. and these kind of that are turned into books.
Yeah.
I want you to know, like, if you are ever hearing those and there's kind of a sense of like overwhelm.
Yeah.
Or confusion, that's to be expected. And that means you're a critical thinker who yeah. is trying to analyze a piece of information and figure out how it applies to you.
Yeah.
You're not the problem if this set off like some alarm bells in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the poem right now too, and the poem feels very different than the, like, in terms of like, this seems like the correct way to, like, the examples we were giving is sort of what Cassie yeah. is saying, right? She's saying, if they choose someone or something over you, let them. If they go weeks without talking to you, let them. If they're okay with never seeing you again, let them.
Yeah.
If they're okay with always putting themselves first, let them. If they're showing you who they are and not who you perceive them to be, let them. And then she goes into this like actually really beautiful part, right? She says, if they want to walk out of your life and leave, like, let them. Let them lose you. You were never theirs because you were always your own. Let them show you who you truly are, not tell you. Let them prove how worthy they are of your time. Let them make the necessary steps to be part of your life. Let good things happen in your life too. She says, let them take you out on a Thursday. Let yeah. them talk about anything and everything just because it's you they're talking to. Let them have a safe place in you. Let them see the heart in you that you didn't harden. Let them love you. So different.
So, I mean, that is like night and day.
Yeah. And maybe that's why Mel Robbins is saying this. It's so different.
I don't know.
But to me, I'm like, this is the correct way to yes. use it. And you bastardized this.
Yes. Because when I hear all of those points, what I'm hearing is learning how to allow ourselves feel honored.
Yeah.
And valued and cared for. And learning how to choose people that do that for us. And that is a very deep level of contemplation mm-hmm. around this concept.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying like, let them be them, like, it's like, okay. It's devoid of complexity. And I don't like that because yeah. our job, and I don't want to speak for you, but I know you pretty well. And so I feel like I can do so confidently. In our job, we like are ethically obligated mm-hmm. to sit in the complexity and the overwhelm and to meet someone exactly where they're at and start them from the place of where they're at, not even where they want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
And not rush them.
Yes.
If you rush them and you try to force them to yes. change faster, that is not yes. okay and won't work.
Yeah. And allow them to make mistakes and test yeah. things and try things out. Yeah. Like it so I think I get really bristly when I see stuff being portrayed like this because I know how harmful it can be, especially for women. Mm-hmm. I know this is for men too, but I think I just work with women, so that's the audience I speak to. Like, for women that grew up in very critical homes, mm-hmm. for women that grew up with impossibly high standards mm-hmm. and expectations that they felt that they could never meet. Mm-hmm. And so this simple concept that is not simple to apply
yeah.
can feel very defeating very quickly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, another thing I can't do.
Yeah.
Another thing I don't know how to do because there's no layers to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this. And if you can't do this, you're the one causing the problems. It's mm-hmm. your fault. And she was like, that literally was her delivery to Jared in the podcast.
Ugh.
Like, it was so aggressive. And she was just like, well, you're the problem. You're the problem. And it's like, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? You have no, like, it's just so rude to, like, go into a podcast and be, like, yelling at someone like that. Like, it just, I don't know.
It's also just, the whole thing is so lazy to me. Because I'm just, like, as a therapist, right, it is, it takes an incredible amount of patience to sit yes. with someone through the ups and downs,
mm-hmm.
making sure you're not pushing them, making mm-hmm. sure you're walking with them.
Yep.
Sitting with them through it all.
Yep.
Listening to the nuance, fully understanding and hearing why certain things won't work for them because not everything does.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so lazy to just be like, just let people do whatever they want and you do whatever you want. And I'm not interested in any of the nuance or the questions or the different ways to look at it. Like, black and white thinking can be so lazy.
God, that is like the most apt description I've heard of that, the laziness of it.
I mean, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. If you fall into black and white thinking, I'm not saying you're lazy. We all do it.
Well,
but I think when you're writing a book,
yeah,
which I have, lazy. And I sat up all night crying, yes. trying to figure out the nuance of how does someone interpret this? How does someone interpret that? How can I speak to a broad enough audience, but make sure that it is like tailored and I'm keeping other people's perspectives in mind,
mm-hmm.
and to not only not do that in your book, but then to not even entertain it when someone asks you that question on a podcast is mind-blowing to me.
It is. It's just so – there's an arrogance to it,
yes.
too.
I was thinking, like, you're on your high horse not willing
yes.
to hear what's going on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And I think so many people – actually make progress pretty quickly when someone just listens to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just says, yeah, like, I get why you're doing what you're doing. I understand it.
Yeah.
Like, I empathize with why you would choose to approach this thing this way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to like go back to my time in the hospital, I remember, like, you know, you get a lot of homeless individuals that come in and seeking reprieve, looking for food, looking for a place just to stay for a couple of hours. And, you know, some of them can be pretty rude.
Yeah.
But some are just really kind and they're just going through like a horrible time in their life. And I remember thinking, like, you hear so much judgment about like the homeless population or the substance use population, and they're this and they're that and they're that. And you know what? Sometimes those stereotypes are true. And I have seen those. However, I remember thinking, like, as I heard these people's stories and how they ended up where they did, I remember saying to myself, if I had lived your life and you had lived my life, we would be sitting opposite each other.
Mm-hmm.
I would be
– totally agree with that.
I would be on the bed and you would be standing here with me.
Yeah.
I got very lucky to have two stable parents.
Yeah.
I have a relatively healthy brain.
Yeah.
I haven't had health issues. I had all my needs cared for and then some. I had incredible opportunities, education, friends, I had incredible, incredible privilege. And to sit and say, well, you just need to do this,
mm-hmm.
is a lazy arrogance that is truly breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was my professional check on myself a lot. And I never, ever said that to somebody, by the way. But to just think of someone like a Mel, who in a lot of ways is an incredibly privileged person. I know she's mm-hmm. been through a lot of stuff. She's overcome a lot of things, worked through a lot of things. I know her backstory a little bit. But it's pretty breathtaking to just go around pointing the finger at everybody and saying, all of your misery is tied into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, I just don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable and it bristles up against my values and it's hard.
Yeah.
And again, if you read this book and it changed your life, I'm so happy for you.
Hopefully if you read this book and it changed your life, you're not listening to this episode.
you're not interested in this.
Because it's probably not helpful. And if you think the Cassie Phillips, like, I mean, yeah. that was beautiful. Like, beautiful. I love that poem.
Yeah, that was, well, that because that's what that is.
Yeah. Right. It's not let me be messy. Like, and I think it's so frustrating because, like, there is a kernel of truth in it.
Yes.
Right? It's yeah. just that compromise also matters. Communication matters. And that's where she could have gone with the book, actually. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is what I'm also just, like, annoyed about is I'm just like, this actually could have been a helpful book in terms of if you took it in this nuanced way and explained mm-hmm. the use cases for it, sort of, mm-hmm. and how to then compromise. And like you said, like, it was a chapter.
Yeah, like book. Literally, like the let them principle could have been like 10 pages.
But this is
yeah.
the problem with a lot of these books is yeah. literally what could have been mm-hmm. a chapter is the whole book and there's nothing mm-hmm. else. And there are quite a lot of books.
A lot.
That I've read like that. And it's so disappointing. Like, yeah.
I care too much about the content that I put out, I think. Yeah. And I don't know. I just think therapists get ripped off quite a bit because I yeah. remember Rachel Hollis literally said, well, I went to therapy, so I know these skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she literally like ripped off the things that her therapist was telling her.
Yeah.
And turned them into presentations and books and mm-hmm. all these sorts of things. And I think it's gross. Yeah. And I think as therapists, we sometimes do a really bad job of advocating for ourselves because we are so try to be so ethics minded and giving and generous and all these sorts of things. And these motivational people that find this quote unquote calling, yeah. they have no obligation to anyone other than themselves.
Yep.
And they like the attention. They like the adulation. They like the feeling of being right.
Yep.
Having the answer, the yes. one singular answer that if you just do this, you will be guaranteed to get this.
Yep.
And it's frustrating. And again, it's like you said, there's a kernel of truth in all of these things.
Yep.
We're not sitting here saying like, let them theory is the stupidest thing that's ever been said. Like it's all wrong. No, 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 no. It's that it's devoid of nuance.
And depth. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope that you got enjoyment out of this. If there are other books you'd like us to talk about.
We'll do it.
We will. We yeah. like talking about this stuff. And thanks for your support.
Yeah. And if you can rate, review, share, subscribe, anything that you can do to get the word out would mean the world to us.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.